I am so blessed that Pastor Paul and Geneva graciously, I hate to ask anybody not to be at their own church on Sunday morning, but I really, really felt the Holy Spirit saying, need to get all the pastors from the Highway 150 corridor to come here like one a month and speak the vision, because we've all got a common vision for revival. We all are about souls. We may do things different ways, but you know what? He showed me cross-pollination, you know. I don't know how to put this delicately. If you go to Eastern Kentucky, parts of Eastern Kentucky, no, up in the holler, because I work down there, so I know. Up in the holler, if you ever saw the movie Deliverance, now, I'm not, please, I'm not being, but if you get interbred too much, it starts making you stupid. No, I mean, really. And sometimes we get interbred in the church and we don't mix with other believers, and I know y'all aren't like that, but like, that's what these Highway 150 meetings are all about. That's why they're so powerful. God is pleased when we come together and agree on the things we agree on and leave the silly stuff, the small little things we don't agree on at home. But I am honored to have Pastor Geneva here. She's a mighty woman of God, a great teacher, awesome preacher. Hears from God, prophetic. You know, I could say a lot of things about Geneva, but most of all, her friends to us. And as a pastor, you don't know what it's like to have friends that are other pastors, because sometimes you can feel kind of all alone out there when you're not hooked up with a denomination or something. So this has been, the Highway 150 has blessed me more than we've ever blessed anyone. So I am just honored. And please, let's close our eyes a second. Let's stand up. We're going to honor the woman of God this morning. Just put your hand on your belly. Lord, I receive the anointing. I receive this teaching, God. Lord, I receive every good thing you have for me today. Lord, transform me. Make me into your image, God. Lord, we thank you for your anointing. We don't have to pray anointing on Geneva. She's already anointed, God. Just open the floodgates and let it flow like a river. In Jesus' name, we praise you and we thank you for this opportunity. And Lord, we're so thankful for their graciousness, God, that you've allowed them to be here, God, in Jesus' name. Let's give her a big hand of applause. Don't be seated. Is that good enough? I'm sorry we don't have a wireless. Or
I don't use them anymore.
You don't? You need this because you're going to be on the World Wide Web.
That's exactly right. Praise God.
Yeah, you really are.
Praise the Lord. I agreed with him before I knew it was true, huh? Well, are you excited?
Yes.
Oh, no, wait a minute. Now, that wasn't good. Are you excited?
Yes.
Okay, young people, fake me and the devil out. Are you excited?
Yes.
All right. A few of them are. A few of you wouldn't fake the devil out for anything. All right. I do have a word this morning, and I don't know if it's a share of the vision or not, but it's what the Lord gave me for us today, and I'm here, so it's for me too. So I don't know if you want to flash the scripture up or not, but I've got them written down. So, but our first scripture is, and we're just going to go. We're going to go today, aren't we?
Amen.
We're going to receive today. I tell you what, you know, you don't always need confirmation of what you're going to minister, but everything that's been said, every song this morning just goes right along with what the Lord revealed to me. And I just am so thankful. Thank God, because I didn't call Jamie and say, now you need to sing this song or that song or that song, did I? No. So see, it was the Holy Spirit. So Father, we want to thank you today that you are in this place. Lord, I give you praise that we hear your voice and we obey you because we are your sheep. And Father, I ask that the word that is spoken today would be your word and you would speak through me what you would have me to speak. And that if there is any revelation in me that needs to be brought forth this morning, you bring it forth and we will give you the glory and the praise in Jesus' mighty name. We are living in the last days. You may as well get that in your head and in your let it drop in your heart. We're living in the last days, and I know youth, young people, you'll get afraid when you hear that, but we're living in a glorious time for the church. And it's a separation time because in Ephesians 5, 25 through 27, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having a spot or a wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." When we were born again, we were born into true righteousness and holiness. God said, "I created you." If you're born again, you didn't just make a mouth confession. I believe there's a lot of people sitting in churches today that have made a mouth confession that have no idea that they're still going to hell. Yeah, and that's the thing that really bothers me about the mouth confession is if you just confess this, I've talked with people that'll say, there's nothing wrong with having them confess. If they confess it and they believe they're saved and they're not, there's something wrong with it because they're going to hell if they die.
That's right.
So you sent that person to hell without any help. So, but God is looking for a glorious church. Now, he's not even looking for it. He's going to have it. He's going to have it. How many mothers and fathers do we have here that have sons? Hold your hands up. Now, I'm going to ask you a true question. Some of the girls that you know today, would you choose them for your son as a wife? Tell the truth. Some of the girls you know today. No. If you're honest, no, there's girls. There's even girls sitting in church. We might have some of them here. Now, I'm going to be honest this morning, so you may never have me back, but I'm going to give it to you this morning. There may be some of you this morning that aren't fit to be a bride to a good man. Do you understand? God's going to have a spotless church because he's coming back for a spotless church for his son, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, a man that gave his life for you and me, that shed his blood for us, that gave his all. He loved us so much, he gave his all. And he's not coming back for a dirty bride that's mixed up in the world, that's full of lust, homosexuality, has immorality in it. He is not coming back for a church like that. He's coming back for a spotless, clean church without a wrinkle. And the wrinkle there does not mean like the wrinkle in the bridesmaid's dress or the gown. You know, I used to read that and think, oh, you know, you don't want a wrinkle in your bride's dress, because I remember when our girls got married, they had a pretty large dress, and we made sure it didn't have any wrinkles or anything in it. But that's not what he's talking about. He's coming back for an ageless, that word wrinkle there means ageless church. But the church is not ageless anymore. The church has gotten so now that it is irrelevant to the world. Like the first song we sang today, you know, some of the worship and praise that I'm used to is what I was used to as a kid was pretty wild. I mean, the women would, I came out of Church of God, so some of you understand what that is. You have the dresses, the long hair. Now, I never had the long hair because I don't like long hair on myself. It's okay with anybody else. But anyway, they would dance their hair out. I mean, they would, and it was, and if you didn't do that every service, then you had to come and get saved again. I mean, you kept yourself saved because you worshiped the Lord in power and in might and in strength. And now, let's go to my next verse scripture is 1 Peter 4, 17 and 18. This is where we're at in the church today. "For the time," and that's the set time, "is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first must begin with us," say with us, "what shall be the end of them that obey not the Lord?" Okay. "And if the righteous scarcely be saved, what shall be the ungodly and the sinner? And if the righteous..." Oh, well, I got two verses there. Paul copied that off on the computer for me today. "So if the righteous scarcely be saved..." And the word scarcely there means hard. If it's hard. If it's hard for the righteous men and women of God to be saved today, where are the sinner and the ungodly going to stand? And the word judgment there does not mean what we think of passing down a verdict. The word judgment there means hard times are coming to the church. Pressure is coming to the church because God's process of cleansing sometimes has to come through pressure, hard time, trials, tests, persecution. And we are living in those days right now. If you're not having any of that, just get ready for it, because if you want to be part of the bride, you're going to be put under the test. God wants us pure so we can do the work of Jesus. It's not just about making a pure church. It's so we can work the works of Jesus. God will, and purity is not negotiable. It's not negotiable with God. It's going to be purity or it's not. And let me say one thing to you so you don't get scared. You have to live a pure life every day. You should be striving for purity every day. You're not going to wake up in the morning and never make another mistake, never think another thought that you shouldn't. But I'm telling you, you strive every day for perfection and holiness with God. Now, I've got some statistics, and these are kind of scary. 1,500 ministers fall. Now, don't leave the ministry. This is fall each month. 4,000 new churches close each month. A few years ago, there was a survey went, and there's 25 million websites that are devoted exclusively to pornography. You know, pornography has grown now that it's one of the largest money-making markets in the world. Every time you log in on an internet, you're within a mouse click of deadly landmine of Satan. If you parents don't have guard on your computer, you better get a guard on your computer, and you better take those cell phones. My granddaughters have their cell phones, and well, I said it this way. My grandkids are 20, 19, 18, and 17, and their parents still have access to everything they do on their cell phones. They can check in where they've been or where they've not been. And I'm telling you, that's the only way to be. If they're living in your house, you got the control. If you don't, then you need to put them out and let them control you, because that's what they're doing anyway. So you're in control. Now, I'm not well liked sometime at church, too, because I say this at church. I'm not just saying it because I'm here. This is the way I feel, and that's the way I believe. Porn is the devil's super glue. You know, they say it's just like cocaine. One look, and you're stuck. And if the statistics are right, there's some of you sitting in here this morning that are involved in it. If 54% of the American people are involved in some type of pornography, then some of you are this morning. You say, oh, it's getting quiet. Yes, it is. But that's true. And you say, well, what's wrong with it? Nobody knows I'm doing it. I'm doing it late at night. I'm not hurting anybody. You're in the devil's hands. You're in his workshop. Pornography just doesn't lead to looking at pictures. It leads to activity. And it goes on and on and on. Why do you think we've got now children that are being sold into sex slave? Why is that? Because it wasn't enough just to look. Now we're degrading ourselves more and more and more, and the church has fallen into it. Several years ago, a Pentecostal denomination, and I wouldn't even tell you the one it is when I wrote it down, sent out a call for 19 pastors to replace 19 pastors who had fallen into sexual sin. God is going to have a clean church. Hard times is coming. You may as well get used to it. The pressure is going to be put on you. Whoever was Joanne Herndon here last? When she was here the last time, and when we sang that song, Purify My Heart, and I just said, Lord, purify my, I was into that song and everything, and before the church service was over, something was said to me, they'll never know it, but it pricked my heart, and I was one upset person. I got in the car, I didn't even tell Paul. The same old thing that had come up in me years ago rose up again. And I realized, and then I prayed about it. It's like, okay, God, I'm not going back there. But I realized God will put the pressure on you. God will allow things. See, God, I thought this thing was settled in my heart. And sometimes things that we think are settled in our heart are not settled. And only God knows it. And he will allow that right time pressure, that right time word to prick you again, to see, yep, I'm over it. Or no, I'm not. I've got to go back. And I had to go back. So there's a purification coming. Promise Keepers did a survey, and 65% of the men surveyed said they struggled with some type of sexual addiction. And it's impossible. How many of you know today you can't pick up a book, even a magazine? Even magazines today that you wouldn't think have it. They've got sexual insinuations are so bad on television, they can't sell a hamburger, can't sell a car, can't sell clothes, can't sell anything without it being sexual. And listen, men, it's not don't think it's only men. It's a big issue with women. Actually, it's getting bigger and bigger with women all the time. I don't listen to Oprah Winfrey, but this was in my survey. Recently, she did a survey, and there's $57 billion a year spent on pornography. $20 billion on child pornography. And the most recent fact revealed that the largest consumers of pornography in the United States are women, not men. Oprah considers romance novels and soap operas pornography, and I do too. You can't even look at them for a little bit. And then we go on, and there's other things we don't attack in the church. We don't talk about divorce anymore. Divorce rate's gotten higher and higher and higher. And there's homes where the fathers are present but not present. Then we've got them, and I know you're saying, well, this is all boring. Well, you listen. When you're finished, you'll realize God is doing a work. He's got to. If he's going to have any remnant left, he's going to have to do it now. And I believe this is the set time that the pressure is going to be put on the church. And also, if you look around the world, pressure is being put on more and more all the time. Fatherless homes account for 63% of the youth suicides. Fatherless homes account for 90% of the homeless runaway children. Fatherless homes account for 85% of the youth in prison. 4,600 lives are lost in suicide every year between ages of 10 and 14, 24. So we can see what is going on. In 1 Timothy 4:1 says that the Spirit speaks expressively or plain that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil. 1 Thessalonians talks about apostasy, the falling away. And we think about it's just people just leaving the church. But it doesn't mean that at all. It means people are abandoning the Christian faith. They are abandoning the teaching of the Word of God all the time. And that's happening. It's happening everywhere. They don't want to hear the gospel. They don't want to know the truth. Because nowadays it's just easy to go and be, let's just go and have ourselves, let's go to a motivational speaker. Let's go to a pastor where he can just motivate us every week. Do good. You know, you just do good this week. You messed up last week. It's okay. God understands that you can't help messing up. And you know, it'll be better, you know. There are preachers like that on television. That's all they are, is motivational speakers. They just tell you every week you're going to be better. You can do it. You can do it, baby. It's not your fault because you had a hard time. Yes, it is your fault. You made some bad choices. It says giving heed, and how we give heed, and this is amazing to me. It is a verb word, and it's present tense, and it shows it's a continuous action, and it's what we devote our minds to. Giving heed to seducing spirits, what you put your mind to, what you give your mind to and you hold in your mind, you are giving heed to that seducing spirit. And seducing spirits come as a snare through our minds, through our thoughts, and this is how they come. Some of you may have had them. Christians are all hypocrites. Jesus isn't the only way. You know there's a well-known minister today on television, I won't tell you his name, you probably already know who it is, that will not say Jesus is the only way to heaven. A large church. I mean, there's 80, 90,000 people in it. Won't speak against homosexuality. How do I know this? It's been on Fox News. He's been on Fox News several times, and they pinned him to the couch, so to speak, and he never would say Jesus is the only way. But I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only way, and all religions don't lead to God. So that's a seducing. If that thought comes to you, you better get rid of it, because it'll seduce you right into hell, because all religions don't lead to Jesus. Only one does, and that is Jesus Christ, the cross of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus we sang about, he shed for you and me. That's the only way. If children are unwanted, now this is, we've dealt with this. I've heard this in my own family. If children are unwanted and abused, wouldn't it better just to abort them? See where that seducing spirit will get you to thinking? The church has fallen into listening to seducing spirits because they're all around. They're everywhere. They're in magazines. They're in books. They're on the television. They're everywhere. You got to know the truth of the Word of God. And then we know that the marriages are ending in divorce. And now there's a thing that I don't hate homosexuals, okay? I hate homosexuality. Get that in your heart. I hate homosexuality, what it does. But the thing now, that seducing spirit would tell you, maybe some of you young people, because see, I've got four adult young people in my home, my grandchildren, went to school in a very progressive, and that's the right word, school. So it was a constant keeping them. That's not true. That's not what the Word of God is. When they went there, the principal and the overseer of the school is like, make sure your children know what you believe before you put them here. And it's good because they had a freedom of religion there also, because they could speak about God. They gave speeches about God. They did reports about the creation, about the birth of Jesus. They've done a lot of things, and they've even witnessed in the school, so they don't get put down or kicked out of the school. But you better know what you believe. Now, even in high school, regular schools, this is not a regular school. In your regular school, you better know what you believe. You better know what you believe. You better know that the Big Bang Theory didn't happen. You better know that you're not related to a monkey somewhere because you was come out of something. You came out of God. You was created in the image and likeness of God. And if you think you was a monkey, maybe you are. Maybe your parents think you came from one too. But you didn't. You came from God. You came from your parent. The DNA of Christ is in you. Do you understand? The DNA of God is in you. But this thought that maybe the homosexuals, maybe the gays, maybe lesbians, women, maybe they were born like that. No, God wasn't. Jesus wasn't. They aren't. They made a choice. Something happened in their life. They made a choice. But you'd make the choice to not believe then fall into that seducing spirit. We've got to take care of our hearts. For out of within our heart, man proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, right, covetous, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, the evil eye, blasphemy, and pride. Now, the Bible is written to the church. Those things in our heart have got to get out because we've got to have a pure heart before the Lord. And the sin of worldliness has got to leave the church. Jesus is not coming back to punish us. The judgment's not punishment. It's a pressure. It's a pressure. And let me tell you something. The fire of God will come as pressure, or it will come as the Word of God. Jeremiah said the Word was like fire shut up in my bones. So the Word of God, when the Word is preached here and you feel that flick in your spirit that, now I need to get rid of that, that's the fire of God trying to deal with you. And when you're under pressure, I feel like that was pressure the night I was here, and it was just like that thing just rose up in me again. But I'm telling you what, I believe God will take care of you. How many of you trust the Lord? There is going to be some hard times come to the body of Christ. And it's our fault. It's our fault. Just like, and I'm going to go over here quickly now, and we're going to liken the church to Samson. Because I saw something different about Samson in the church this week when I was studying this. But let me tell you something. I do believe this, that the judgment, the sifting, the purifying is coming to the church, because God is going to have a pure church without spot or wrinkle. We're going to be ageless. But this is the reason I know, and I believe in my heart, all of my heart, that God will take care of you. I want you young people to know I love you. And I want you to know that God will take care of you right now in the times that you're in. You're living in the worst time ever. When I was in school, there was things that went on that you all would laugh at today that was wrong. Chewing your gum was wrong in school. You could be put out of school for chewing gum. I mean, I'm that old, okay? So that's the way it was. You didn't get caught in the hall after the bell rang. You would definitely go into the principal's office for that. None of the things that you've seen going on in your school would have happened when I was in school. You're living in a hard time, and you need God in your life, because you need God to keep your heart and your mind right and to protect you, because you're living, and you got to know this. The one thing, if you don't pick up anything that I say this morning other than God loves you and wants to take care of you, and He will take care of you if you give your heart to Him and live for Him and not pretend you're living for Him. Now, when Peter wrote that scripture there, that hard times was coming to the church first, then the world. Why would hard times? God wants the church clean so they can help the world when the hard times comes to the world. But if we're so messed up and like the world, how can we help the world when the hard times come? We got to have the power of God in our lives. Anyway, Peter was waiting to be killed. It was time for him to be killed, put to death, and Nero was going to do it. And also, Nero had done just like, well, I'm just going to say it. Just like our president today, he had spent and spent and spent. He had taken the money from the rich at that time and spent and spent and spent till there was no more money any place. Now he's in trouble, and the only way he can get out of it is blame it on the Jews, but he's going to burn the city. And Peter is saying, judgment will start at the house of God. You better know who you're going to trust in, church, because the pressure's coming. He's already persecuting you, but now it's going to come hard. So, and the most amazing thing of this is historians tell that the born-again, true believer, there was not one of them perished. God had spoke to them, they knew in their heart. They had already left the city before Nero set it on fire. But the disobedient to the word of God, the unbeliever, and the ungodly were destroyed. Praise God. God is good. God loves you. I love you too. Whether you accept the word or not, that's okay. I came here to give the word of God because I know God has it for you too. But hard times is coming. Hard times is coming on you guys. Harder than you know. Harder than you know. You know, you think it is hard, and it is hard now, but it's going to be harder. It's going to be harder. But if you give your heart to the Lord, you won't be in that situation where the destruction will hit you so hard. The church was saved. The one thing that I have read this scripture so many times over and over, and a lot of the commentators just want to say that the disobedient was those that didn't serve the Lord. There was three people there: the Christian, the disobedient, the ungodly, and the sinner. So to me, the disobedient means those that heard the gospel in the church didn't obey the word of God. Then you got the ungodly, they don't believe there's anything to do with God. Then you got the sinner that heard the word and they just wouldn't obey. They didn't come. So the disobedient also, the disobedient were destroyed too. God does not want to destroy us. God does not want to destroy the church. He gave Jesus for the church. That's why he's dealing with the church right now so hard. And we're under pressure all the time. You know, I don't be surprised, and we've already made our mind up. It doesn't matter if they take away the tax-exempt thing. Still, are you as a congregation, are you as a tither, are you going to continue to tithe because you take it off your taxes? You know, most of you can do that. And if you can't do that, are you going to give into the church? Is charitable giving going to leave because you can't take it off your taxes? So big deal. It shouldn't matter. But God's going to put the pressure on us. I feel pressure all the time in my life. How many of you feel the pressure? I mean, there's things coming up in your life. It's like, I've got to make a decision. Am I going to stand or am I going to bow to this thing? And God doesn't want us to bow. The world has invaded the church so much now that we are not a glorious church, but God will have it. Silver and gold take different types of heat. I know you know this, but you can't put the same heat on silver as you can gold. And each one of them is never purified all at one time. The silversmith will take the silver and put it through the fire and get some of the dross off, take it back to the fire and heat it up higher, get some more dross off. The process takes time. So it's taking time in you and me. Does the same thing with gold. But the most amazing thing I learned is that the refiner never leaves the precious metal. The whole time that's in the fire, he's there to make sure that there's not too much fire, because too much heat will destroy it. Not enough will not cleanse it. So God is with us all the time. He will never, the word even says he won't let anything more than we can bear come into our lives. He knows. He knows the amount of pressure that we can take. And some of us have been under so much pressure, we feel like there couldn't be anything left in me. There definitely could not be anything left in me. And when you get to that point, you better know the fire is coming again, because there's something left. There'll be something left in you and me till the day we go home to be with the Lord. It's something that it will never, ever be. And you say, we're supposed to be pure. We're getting pure and pure and pure every day. Praise God. I thank God that he's never left us. There can be no impurities in gold, because we were created in righteousness and holiness. And these are the things that I writ down. I will tell you this. Paul and I are making a new dictionary at church. They keep all the words that we say down. And one of these days, we will give you all a copy of all of our words. And one of mine is writ. Okay. So I writ these down. We've got to get malice and backbiting. We've got to get pride, vanity, bitterness, unforgiveness, wrath, gossip, complaining, worldliness, looking like and acting like the world to win popularity, hate, covetousness, compromise. We compromise what we believe because we're afraid to hurt somebody's feelings. We can't even preach what we want to preach for fear somebody will leave the church. Well, that's what I say too. That's what I tell Paul all the time. Anyway, no idol worship. And you say, well, I don't worship an idol. Well, this is what I feel like idol worship is. Anything I give greater attention to than God is an idol. Whatever it may be in your life. We got to get rid of strife, stiff-necked, hypocrisy, elitism. Elitism is a big thing in the church. We're the only ones. We got it. We're better than you, and on and on and on. We got to get rid of that. The Jezebel spirit has to be gotten out of the church. And something that we don't think about very much is that spirit of Absalom. That's got to be broken out of the church. I like what Francis Frangipane says. Satan has the legal access given to him by God to dwell in the domain of darkness. Wherever you have darkness in your life, you have opened up yourself for Satan in that area. He says, we must grasp this point. The devil can traffic in any area of darkness, even the darkness that still exists in a Christian's heart. And that's when we say Mark 7, 21 and 22, for in the heart are all those things. And Peter, I've never thought about this, but I was reading Francis's book. I did see this. Jesus prayed for Peter. I remember that when Jesus, Jesus came to the disciples. You'll all desert me. And Peter's like, No, I won't. I'll never turn my back upon you. No matter what happens, I'll never do it. And Jesus, like, yes, you will, Peter. Before the rooster crows three times, you'll have done it. No, I won't. So then he tells Peter, he says, Peter, Satan has demanded you to be sifted. And he said, I gave him permission to sift you, just not take your life. And there Peter was, just sure of himself that he would never turn his back on Jesus. Here he was the only one that got out and walked on the water. He was bold. He had revelation of who Jesus was, but he wasn't going to deny Jesus, but he did. The darkness that Peter had in him was pride. That pride said, I won't ever turn my back on you, God. And he gave Satan legal access to his life. Any type of sin that we've got in our lives, we're giving Satan access to it. Doesn't matter what it is. Just like Samson. Y'all know the story of Samson? And this is what this is what I saw this week. I liken Samson and the church. Samson was a Nazarite from birth, called of God, set apart. The church has been called and set apart for God. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson and he did things. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed us. As Pastor Paul said while ago, Pastor Mark, we have an anointing. You all have an anointing. In John it says we have an unction from the Holy One. We all have an anointing in our life. The church has been anointed. Then we see that as he gets a little older, that he goes down, he goes to this city, Timnath is the name of it. And I looked in it and said, what does that mean, God? What does that mean? And I kept searching, and that means modern. He didn't want the old ways anymore. He didn't want to stay the Nazarite, separated unto the Lord. So he went down to the modern town. He left the ways of his teaching, the ways of the covenant, the Israelite Nazarite covenant he had, to go down to the modern where he was accepted, because he was tired of the ageless church. He was tired of the preaching on hell. Don't preach on hell no more to me, Mom and Dad. Don't tell me what's wrong and what's right in God. No, I don't want anything to do that. I want to go down there. I want to go down there where it looks like fun. So everything is different down there. So we've modernized the church. We've modernized the church so much now that we don't even look like the beginning of the church. The ageless church is from the very beginning. When Jesus brought Israel out, God brought Israel out of the wilderness, that was the church. And then when the Holy Spirit fell in Acts, that was the church. And the church now has gotten we're so modernized in every way and everything we do and everything we think to keep up with the world. The Holy Ghost is not even allowed in some churches, some tongue-talking, born-again, Spirit-filled denominations. The Holy Spirit is not allowed in the congregation. If you're going to speak in tongues, you better do it in a basement or another room. Worship and praise is being trying to be killed out all the time, and worship and praise in some places today is so formal that that's all it is. It's a formalism and all it is entertainment. If I cannot worship get into the worship and praise with you, then it's entertainment. We've got large churches that are pulling people out of churches now because they play. This just recently happened, and you'd know who I was talking about. At another church, a person from the large church over in town came to this meeting, and this boy was playing. And afterwards, he said to him, "You need to be where you can be more appreciated. You're more talented in this." And they left the church to go. Left a Spirit-filled church to go. It's not just happening a little bit. It's happening all over the place. You would know who I'm talking about, and you'd know the church this happened in. The church is modernized now till Jesus is not even welcomed anymore. I just counseled with a girl 2 weeks ago on the telephone that goes to a church where they have a satellite where the pastor is on the screen. I counseled with her probably for an hour on the telephone because she lives over in town. I get off the phone and I tell Paul, I didn't tell him what it was about, and I told him, I said, I just counseled with this person for about an hour on the telephone. He said, well, I know you're on the phone a long time. I said, where was the pastor? Where? He said, well, honey, you don't have nothing to do with those pastors that have their own television or satellite where you just go and watch them. I said, oh, my goodness, modernize the church now. Till now, the church is not the church anymore. I'm surprised God hasn't turned his back totally, but he's got hope. See, there's the thing. God's got hope because he sees the day coming. And it is here where the judgment, where that persecution, where that trial, that pressure is coming to the church, because it's going to come out, and it's going to come out. It's not going to just come out. It's going to come out with power. That's what he wants. So he went down to that town, and he got in trouble there. Then he did it some more. You know, he killed a few of the Philistines, and time went on. I didn't even know till the end of Judges that he had judged for 20 years. It's like it seemed like it happened so quick, but he didn't do a lot. So then we see that later on he goes down to Gaza. So now he's done some mighty works, and now he's gone to Gaza. Well, Gaza means self. No self, you're not going to have anybody tell you what to do. It means self-rule. So he's went down to Gaza. So the church has gone to Gaza. Nobody's going to tell me what to do, even God. We're going to do our own thing. Now, I believe that Samson went on his own power a lot of times, just like the church today has been doing its own thing year after year in its own strength and its own power, and he did. Well, he gets down there, and he gets lulled into the enemy. The church has laid her head in the enemy's lap. The church has just given up to the enemy and now looks just like the world. And this is the amazing thing to me, is when they came that last time to get him, the Bible says he shook himself as before and did not know that the Spirit of the Lord had left him. Most of the church does not know today that the anointing has left. The anointing has left the church. We may as well agree and see that, because it has. And I'm not saying this church. This is just we in this area. We're just a small part of the church. You understand? It's not. When I say church, I don't mean here. I mean the church. And let's just get this down real close. The bride has lost its anointing. It has given its anointing up. And now God has got to get that back. So Samson goes into captivity. They put his eyes out. I believe that when I was reading this, that the Lord said to me, the church has had its spiritual eyes put out by the blindness of the world. The world has so blinded the church now that its spiritual eyes are put out, and all we can see is just how we can get people in the church, how we can get people on the pews. We don't care what condition they stay in the church in. We'll get them in some kind of a program. We'll start a motorcycle club. We'll start a horseshoe club. We'll start a croquet club. And you think I'm making this up, but I am not. You go to some churches and you can find a club, a knitting club, a sewing club, for everything to keep you in a club so you will be in the church. But the gospel is not preached. The gospel is not preached. So we've got people in churches, in clubs, are staying busy, but are going to hell because the gospel's not preached. The anointing has left the church. They are afraid to preach on hell. They're afraid to preach on sin, because if they do, some of them will get up and leave. And when you've got to have hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars to run a church, you're going to keep every person in that church however you can. But the anointing is gone. And the anointing has left the church. And we cry out and we cry out, oh God, oh God, give us revival, give us revival. And most of us think revival's for the world. God is trying to revive the church. He's trying to wake it up. He's trying to get the sin and the worldliness out of the church so that anointing and the fire of God can truly burn again and people can come through the doors. Even Isaiah says, sinners are not afraid in Zion anymore. What's happened, church? We used to be in my day when people would come through the doors. I know it was Old Time Church of God, and they wasn't afraid to preach hell, fire, and brimstone. You was going to go there any day if you didn't get saved. And I feared that, because you know what? I figured I might die any day, because people were dying back then like they are now. And I feared it. But we're afraid to tell people, you're going to die and go to hell if you don't give Jesus your heart. I even hear my pastor, once in a while he'll say, If you don't live right, you're going to the other place. It's like hell. I always say hell out loud when he says, I say hell, because I'm not afraid to say it. But you know, and I'm not the pastor, though. I'm just pastor's wife. So there you go. Anyway, but say it like it is. Say it like it is. You know, let's don't get so politically correct we're afraid to tell the truth. You know, abortion is murder. It's not an abortion. It's not birth control. It's murder. But anyway, his eyes was put out. So then they put him on the grind wheel. Round and round. The church is going round. This is what I saw. The church is going round and round and round and in a circle. And when you go in a circle, you never get out. You just keep doing the same things and the same things. But there's things on us that will not see the glory of God. And God is trying to get those things off us. And when they would get, they made fun of him. They made fun of him. They would, at their festivals, they would go get him because he was blind. And they would bring him and they would let him, turn him loose. I read this. And he would stumble trying to feel because he couldn't see for things. And they would think, they would laugh because he was looked like he was dancing. So they had sport and they made fun of him. The world's making fun of the church. World's making fun of the church. It really is. If it wasn't, it'd be right in here getting saved. Where's the power? Where's the power? They say this, they say that. You know, I have my two granddaughters that live with me. Young people have issues, don't they? You say, yeah. Yeah, you do. But that's all right. Old people do, too. Old people have issues, too. So my grandkids are like, when I sing an old hymn, they're like, how do you stand to sing that? See, the old ways are not relevant anymore. Nobody wants anything old. But Jesus is not old. Jesus is not old, and we're going to get out of that circle. We're going to stop going in circle, round and round and round and round. Even in your own life, maybe you've got to where you feel like you're going in a circle. You just go round and round and round. You're never making any headway. You're going over and over doing the same thing, so you can't get out. But God let him out. He got tired one day when at the festival. He started to cry out to God. That's where the church is. We are right there now on that verge of starting to cry out to the Lord. He cried out to God and he said, oh God, oh God. I want to believe this, that his anointing was not in his hair. His anointing was in his covenant with the Lord. So your anointing is not anything you can do by yourself, not anything you have. It's in the Lord and your covenant with God. Remember that. Anything you've got is God's and your covenant with him. So your abilities and your skills, even your abilities, honey, to play that guitar and sing, that's not you. That's God. Remember that. It's not you. Don't get caught up in it's because I can. You get caught up in it's God through me. Praise the Lord, and you're doing good. Praise the Lord. But I believe that his hair grew back. He started thinking about his covenant again. And then the day came and he cried out to the Lord. God, just one more time. Just one more time. Let come upon me just one more time, God. And the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And he had the little boy to take him to the pillars. And he pushed the pillars. And the word says more. He killed more in that day than he had in all his life. Oh, my God. It's a glorious day for the church. The church is going to rise up. We are going to come out of the lap of Satan. We're coming out of Gaza. We're get the world and that self-will, that self-desire, that self-lust where nobody can tell us what to do. Even the Holy Spirit's having a hard time getting through to us because we want to do it our way when we want to do it. And that's when we don't care if anybody likes it or not. But the church is waking up. The pressures have come. There is enough people left right now. I'm telling you, there was such a remnant of Israel left in those days, but God is having a larger remnant. You know, you can have large remnants. I bought a remnant to make a headboard with the other day. It's a 6-yard remnant. God's got a large remnant. in these last days. It's rising up. The dry bones are coming to life. We're coming out of Gaza. We're coming out of that modernism where we don't care if people like it or not. The gospel's going to be preached. The signs and wonders are going to start taking place because this is the day. This is the day that God has got set aside for the church. This is the day God has got set aside for these young people to rise up and get a hold of the Word of God now and not wait till they get my age or your age and then realize, oh, I could have done this a long time ago. The same big Holy Ghost that's in me is the same Holy Ghost that's in you. He doesn't grow up. The Holy Ghost is the same no matter how small these children are. And I had that revelation one day. The Holy Spirit's not a child. He's an adult and He lives in you. And the mind of Christ is in you. You pray the mind of Christ out of you. You pray in the Holy Ghost. How many of you are filled with the Holy Ghost? Pray in your Holy Spirit language as much as you possibly can, because the mind of Christ will come out in you. And I'm telling you what, He will also cause the Word of God to rise up in you and show you things in your life that need to be gotten out. And if you will get them out with the Word of God, if you will not hate instruction, but you will run to it and love it and embrace it, you won't have to go through the pressures and the trials that are coming to some people because they will not obey the Word of God. But the church is rising up just like Samson did, and the latter days of the church of God will be greater than the former days. The former and the latter rain is being poured out to get together, and the church is going to be a vital part in this country again. The people of the world will start coming to the church. If you will trust the Lord with your life and everything you own in these last days when there is lack, and there will be lack in these last days. I'm not preaching fear because I don't believe that's faith, but there will be lack. But I believe the church will still have enough, more than enough. Egypt, when they came out of Egypt, they came out. When they came out of bondage in Babylon, they came out with plenty. So the church will have plenty, but you're going to have to live right. You're going to have to obey the word of the Lord. You've got to get the sin out of your life, whatever it is. If you're walking around with unforgiveness and bitterness, get it out of your heart, because wherever that spot is in you, you are giving the devil a place in your life. And as he takes one place, he doesn't stay in one place. He'll take more, and he'll take more, and he'll take more. And pretty soon, the anointing is gone, and the light is gone out of you. Because Isaiah says, or Jeremiah 1, in the last days, darkness and gross darkness will come upon the earth. And even Timothy says, in the last days, there will be perilous times. They will be hard. That's hard times. And it doesn't mean just in the physical. It means in the spirit. Lot, when he was over in Sodom and Gomorrah, he was pressed, his spirit was pressed, but it was his fault. He chose the way of the world. He basically went to Gaza, didn't he? Because he could have not, I read this just recently, he did not have to go to Sodom and Gomorrah. There was other land places he could have went that was good, but Sodom and Gomorrah was rich. See, the world, we're going after the world, and it is time that we stopped. And this day today, I'm going to stop right here. It's time that we as a church would make up our minds. I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm going to seek the Lord till I find Him. I'm going to seek the Lord and let Him cleanse my heart. Because I want the greater works. See, that's what the church is at. Jesus says, the works that I do, you shall do greater. And in Samson's last move, he did the greater work. The last move of God is going to be the greater works. And that's where we are. We're in that threshold right now, for judgment is coming to the house. It's coming to God's people first, so that we can be cleansed and purified, so that the things of darkness that are in us can be taken out, that we can rise up and we can do the greater works. Now is the time. Let's stand. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Jamie, you want to just play something, honey? Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Just close your eyes. Now, I'm not going to have you close your eyes and hold your hand up, nothing like that, but just close your eyes. I want you to just start talking to the Lord where you're at. You know, there's a lot of things that we can have in our hearts that nobody knows about. You know, even sometimes as a husband or wife, you don't tell all the things that's in your heart. Children, young people, they don't tell their parents. And I'm not picking on you. It's just the way it is. There's some things we just don't want people to know. But this morning, if you're dealing with something in your heart and you know it's wrong, if you've been involved in anything that you know is wrong, and I'm going to bring this again, if you've been involved in any kind of pornography,
thank you.
You need to stand right there and make a confession to the Lord. You don't have to confess to me, but if you want to, that's fine. I will keep it to myself. I can promise you that. Because God wants to set you free. He wants to take you out of Gaza. He wants to take you out of that, off that merry-go-round where you're just doing the same thing. You're doing wrong, repenting. You're doing wrong, you're repenting. You're doing wrong and repenting. Does that speak into somebody? You're just do wrong and then you repent. You're sorry, but you do it again. Then you're really sorry. Then you do it again. And it's getting easier and easier to do it. Less and less sorry. You're on a merry-go-round. You've given the place a place in your life to the devil. Maybe it's lust. Maybe you're angry. Maybe you're jealous. I want you to, I know Mark keeps the altars open. You just go to the altar this morning and begin to pray and talk to God. Even as an adult, you know, because, you know, when you go, you're not telling me what it is or nobody else. But let's make a decision this morning that I'm going to get out of this merry-go-round. I'm getting out of Gaza. I'm getting out of Gaza. I'm getting out of being my own boss. I'm tired. How many of you feel tired of the way things are going in your life? Yeah, I do. I do. It's like, man, I'll be honest with you. There's days I get up, I feel like I'm on a merry-go-round, and I'm the only one that can get me off. If you want to go pray, go ahead and pray. If you want prayer for anything, I'll agree with you. I'll agree with you. Because God is here. Not because I'm here. God is here. You brought Him. I brought Him. God is in this place today. Father, I thank You that You come to set the captive free, Father. Oh, I praise You, Father God, that we can be captive in our thoughts sometime and don't know it, Lord. Lord, I just ask You right now to reveal to us any wrong thinking that we have, Father. Any of the seducing spirits, if you've had any of those thoughts that I mentioned while ago, let's just break that right now, that seducing spirit. Father, in the name of Jesus, I break the seducing spirits off this congregation, off the young and the old alike, Father. Those thoughts, Father God, that would cause us to wonder if Your word is true, Lord. That seducing spirit, Father, that would keep us wondering about the truth of Your word, if it's absolutely true. Lord, I break that thing right now in Jesus' name, and I release the spirit of truth over this congregation. Lord, over these young people, Father, that they be set free today to think the mind of Christ. Thank You, Father God. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Don't be embarrassed if you need to come to the altar. Just go to the altar. You know, God knows our hearts. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Lord, I praise You. I praise You, Lord. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. Donna and Mark, could I have you up here this morning? As I was coming here, I believe the Lord gave me a word, a specific word for the two of you. And then when we're finished here, if you need prayer for healing, please come forward. If you need Jesus, if you have not made Jesus your Lord, and I'm not saying just a mouth confession, if you have not truly made Jesus your Lord, don't leave this building this morning until you know that you are born again Not just because you said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God and I confess my sins, and if I believe, I receive. And no, you know that you are saved. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can you all stand behind them just in case something happens? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hola, my chaos.
I'm sorry we don't have a wireless. Or a,
I don't use them anymore.
You don't? You need this because you're going to be on the World Wide Web.
That's exactly right. Praise God.
Yeah, you really are.
Praise the Lord. I agreed with him before I knew it was true, huh? Well, are you excited?
Yes.
Oh, no, wait a minute. Now, that wasn't good. Are you excited?
Yes.
Okay, young people, fake me and the devil out. Are you excited? All right, a few of them are. A few of you wouldn't fake the devil out for anything. All right, I do have a word this morning, and I don't know if it's a share of the vision or not, but it's what the Lord gave me for us today, and I'm here, so it's for me too. So I don't know if you want to flash the scripture up or not, but I've got them written down. So, but our first scripture is, and we're just going to go. We're going to go today, aren't we? We're going to receive today. I tell you what. You know, you don't always need confirmation of what you're going to minister, but everything that's been said, every song this morning just goes right along with what the Lord revealed to me. And I just am so thankful. Thank God, because I didn't call Jamie and say, now you need to sing this song or that song or that song, did I? No. So see, it was the Holy Spirit. So Father, we want to thank you today that you are in this place. Lord, I give you praise that we hear your voice and we obey you because we are your sheep. And Father, I ask that the word that is spoken today would be your word and you would speak through me what you would have me to speak. And that if there is any revelation in me that needs to be brought forth this morning, you bring it forth and we will give you the glory and the praise in Jesus' mighty name. We are living in the last days. You may as well get that in your head and let it drop in your heart. We're living in the last days, and I know youth, young people, you get afraid when you hear that, but we're living in a glorious time for the church. And it's a separation time because in Ephesians 5, 25 through 27, it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having a spot or a wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. When we were born again, we were born into true righteousness and holiness. God said, I created you. If you're born again, you didn't just make a mouth confession. I believe there's a lot of people sitting in churches today that have made a mouth confession that have no idea that they're still going to hell.
Yeah,
and that's the thing that really bothers me about the mouth confession is if you just confess this, I've talked with people that'll say, there's nothing wrong with having them confess. If they confess it and they believe they're saved and they're not, there's something wrong with it because they're going to hell if they die.
That's right.
So you sent that person to hell without any help. So, but God is looking for a glorious church. Now, he's not even looking for it. He's going to have it. He's going to have it. How many mothers and fathers do we have here that have sons? Hold your hands up. Now, I'm going to ask you a true question. Some of the girls that you know today, would you choose them for your son as a wife? Tell the truth. Some of the girls you know today. No. If you're honest, no, there's girls. There's even girls sitting in church. We might have some of them here. Now, I'm going to be honest this morning, so you may never have me back, but this is I'm going to give it to you this morning. There may be some of you this morning that aren't fit to be a bride to a good man. Do you understand? God's going to have a spotless church because he's coming back for a spotless church for his son, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, a man that gave his life for you and me, that shed his blood for us, that gave his all. He loved us so much. He gave his all. And he's not coming back for a dirty bride that's mixed up in the world, that's full of lust, homosexuality, has immorality in it. He is not coming back for a church like that. He's coming back for a spotless, clean church without a wrinkle. And the wrinkle there does not mean like the wrinkle in the bridesmaid's dress or the gown. You know, I used to read that and think, oh, you know, you don't want a wrinkle in your bride's dress, because I remember when our girls got married, they had a pretty large dress, and we made sure it didn't have any.